If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God said to me last week, God said, you stop asking me to heal people and start asking me to replace organs. I ain't asking God to heal nothing else. I'm asking him to give you new stuff. I'm tired. Listen, if you got a choice between a renovated house and a new house, which one you taking? If you got a choice between a healed heart and a new heart, which one you want? You got a God that said, I made the first one, I can give you another one. See, the doctors are trying to tell you something negative, but God is saying, I'm going to give you something new. You see, you're worried because the doctors are confused, but their confusion is coming from God because they don't know what to do. God is working something new out. That's why they're all confused. They're one doctor saying this, the other one saying that, and you in the middle saying, ride on, King Jesus. No man cannot hinder thee. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in this day. You see, I've learned that man's extremity is God's opportunity. When man says, there's nothing else I can do, the church ought to go off in praise. Because there's nothing else man can do. He can't touch it no more. But God can. Listen, James says, and this has always been an amazing concept to me. James said, if you lack wisdom, and that's the only time he mentions the wisdom, the rest is implied. He said, let him ask of God for what? For wisdom. And God, because God gives it to all men liberally. And he doesn't hold back and he doesn't chide. And he says, and it, wisdom, shall be given to you. Now James is talking about a specific thing in verse 5, wisdom. But now watch what James does. He shifts to the most powerful dynamic of the kingdom. He says, you can ask, but you must ask in faith. I am going to teach you the reason there are Christians who come to you and they say, oh, well, I've been going to God about this and nothing is happening. Brother and sister, you've been asking for the wrong thing. See, you go to God and you say, Father, I have $1,200 worth of bills and only $1,000 worth of income. Here's what we'll do. Father, we'll say, show me how to get more money. And he never shows you, because James doesn't say, ask God for more stuff. He said, ask him for wisdom. You see, most of the problems that we're going through, we invite them. We invite them. When our children go out and have children out of wedlock and then they mistreat those children, your heart says, let me step in and take over these kids. And then your life is destroyed. And you say, well, you know, praise the Lord, I don't want the system to get them. And then your child has another child and brings that one to you. And then they have another one and brings that one to you. And you're standing there like the Statue of Liberty. Give me your poor, your tired, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Because in your heart, you haven't asked God for wisdom, but in your heart, you see, in the body of Christ in general, but in the church specifically, we have a tendency of putting people in positions from the heart. And they are completely outside of their realm of performance. But our hearts won't remove them. And so the situation keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So you take a task-oriented person and put them in a people business. And then they wind up hurting the people because they see you as task. So then you come to the pastor or come to the pastor's wife or come to the assistant pastors to complain about the task-oriented person. They got a nasty attitude. They don't have a nasty attitude. They have a task attitude because they're used to and they're gifted to talk to computers. Now, anybody in here ever talk to their computer when it don't act right? Come on, don't be ashamed. It's just us. All right, now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. How many of you, when you talk to your computer, you are congenial? How many of you ever talk to your computer or your car when your car just conks out in the middle of the road and you talk to your car? Do you go, please, baby, please, please start. Come on, sugar, come on. No, you say, what's the matter with this stupid thing? I'm sick to top. I can't wait to get rid of this thing. Why? Because it's a thing. And when you are accustomed to things, you keep talking to things. So we have, and then the worst thing is to put people-oriented folks in task. Because people-oriented folks will never get the task done. Because they stand around. They know more about the contractor than getting the contractor to work. Yeah, well, he had a broke toe from when he was 14 years old, and his dog died the other day. And what's that got to do with my roof? I said this morning. Donald Trump is a CEO. He is a chief operating officer, chief executive officer of Trump Industries. That means that he's going to speak his mind because he's not used to having people filter what he says. He's running for president. He's forgotten. He's no longer a chief operating officer. He must be a people person. And CEOs aren't normally people. The stockholders don't want some touchy-feely, I love you. We're like, where's the bottom line and am I getting a dividend check? See, secretly, you want Gordon Gekko from Wall Street. You secretly want him to make you money. You don't want no kissy-feely, well, we lost $400 million last month, but it's all right, the Lord will provide. You send it to look here, you fired. And I secretly think that's what Donald Trump is still acting like the apprentice. That's why you see him firing people on his election team. You fired, you fired, you fired, you fired. And Hillary hadn't fired anybody because she knows how to play that limbic system game of emotion and feeling. She plays to your emotion. He plays to your logic. And see, most of you don't like him, but you got to realize he's saying things nobody else would say. Because secretly, he don't have the first clue of government. And I'm not trying to denigrate him. I'm just trying to sort this thing out. Why did God let him get this far? I think it was to teach us a lesson. That if he can do it, we're the spirit-filled people. Somebody asked me, did I ever aspire to political office? I said, no, I can't take the demotion. I have access to the one who controls everything. Why would I want to be... I don't want nobody voting for me when Jesus already elected me. I don't need nobody to vote for me when the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I don't care who wins in November. I'll just go to God. But James said, and here it is. Here's a good example. You got the election coming up. You don't know what to do. You need wisdom. And some of you are saying, well, I ain't voting this year. Praise God. And others are going, I'm just taking a dart in and just throw it. And whoever it hits, that's who I'm voting for. You really don't know what to do. Go to God. Paul said the powers that are ordained come from God. And wouldn't it be funny if God sits in heaven and says, let's let Trump win. And the angel says, Lord, Master, Most High King, why would you do that? He said, because then my people would come to pray more. I'll get them fasting then. There won't be no lack of praise in the church then. He said, let me just get him in office. And watch all these praises come up. They'll be speaking in tongues like never before. I'll have so many people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Woo! In fact, it's starting to sound good. James said, ask God. You don't know who to marry. Ask God. You don't know who to marry. Ask God. Not that he's going to guide you to anybody, but at least he'll give you some criteria. God will give you a checklist. He'll sit you down and say, now, what is it that you like? So why go out and marry somebody that doesn't fit one of your criteria? See, we base our marriage decisions on love. Praise God. I just love me some them. How? How? You haven't lived with them. You like them. You're intoxicated. Oh, I'm just so in. That's why I don't do premarital counseling no more, because it's foolish. It is, because you come to the counselor with a wedding date. If you come with a wedding date, what's the point in counseling? What if we uncover the fact that you are not compatible and you shouldn't do it? You didn't pay all that money. Don't buy a wedding, an engagement ring until after counseling. Because brothers, they don't give them back anymore. In the old days, you broke off the engagement. They were like, here, take it. Take it back. Take your ring. I said, just take it. Praise God. I'm so glad he delivered me. And you go, yeah, all right, praise God. You down to Columbia Avenue to hawk it. But nowadays, you break up. They say, I'm keeping this because this is mine. You gave it to me. Listen, now you're out $12,000. Don't buy the ring till after the council. Amen. You say, well, what sign can I give them that I'm serious? Buy them a puppy. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Just here you are, baby. Here's a puppy. I love you. Take this shih tzu and just be happy. If it don't work, you can keep the dog. I bought Sister Lambert a $99 ring, turned her finger green. Yes, I did. Figure if you stay with me with a green finger, you get the real one later. Right now, I got to test you. I got to try and see what's in your heart. Got it from a little jewelry store right next to Horn and Hardart. 12th and Market. Turned her finger green. And she loved the green finger. That's how you find out. You don't go to Tiffany's to buy the first one. You buy the first one from Pookie. Let's go right on down to Broaden and at Alney. Hey, you want to buy the ring? Take him around the corner. All right, brother, let's deal. I'm getting married. Get the one out the Cracker Jack box. Start small. See, that's what James is saying. You lack wisdom. You let the world dictate. You lack wisdom. Don't sign a lease before you say I do. Well, we got to have a place to live. So we're gonna go out and we're gonna sign this lease together. Yes, to see if it, you know, we just believe God. Now both your names on the lease. Then one decides they don't want you no more. Now your name's still on that lease. Now your credit score is gonna be affected because you can't pay for that rent. You lack wisdom.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
010-116-P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
The Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.